No bananas, we have no bananas today. We got string beans and onions and big juicy lemons and all kinds of fruit and say.
Oh my gosh, we love our bananas, and people all over the world love this fruit. For decades, bananas have been even more popular than apples. But according to the United Nations, our beloved bananas are at risk of going the way of the dodo. Professor Lori Karras is a plant pathologist at Washington State University. I spoke with her earlier today to ask her what is killing off bananas.
This is a fungus called Fusarium oxysporum, Forma specialis cubensis. And the strain that's of great concern right now is called Tropical Race 4. And so right now it's in Southeast Asia. And there's great concern that it's going to get into the banana-producing regions of Latin America. There's predictions that within the next 10 years it'll be there. And what this fungus does is it infects the banana plants through the roots. It clogs up their vascular system, their ability to transport water from the roots up to the leaves. And so it causes a type of disease we call vascular wilts. The plants, the leaves start wilting, and then they turn yellow, and then they die.
Is this a fungus that can be treated with some sort of antifungal agent?
Not on any practical level. Part of the problem is that the fungus is in the soil, and it can remain in the soil for some time, a number of years. And so the only way to really eliminate the fungus from the soil is to use chemical treatments, which are available, but they're ecologically very damaging. And they're not. It's not practical. It's just on a
too big a scale.
On the scale that bananas are produced. I mean, most of these chemicals that are used, what we call soil fumigants, or can't be used anymore. And of course, the cost would be prohibitive.
We've seen something like this happen with a different species of banana, something called the Big Mike. What happened there?
Something very similar happened, and this was back in the early 20th century, when Big Mike or the Gros Michel was the banana cultivar that was widely grown for export. And another race of this same fungus is what's called race one. It essentially wiped out the Big Mike production. And the concern, of course, now is that the same thing will happen to the Cavendish. The Cavendish replaced Big Mike because it was resistant to race one of this disease, which we call Panama disease. And it was a fortuitous find because the industry, the banana industry, was in danger of collapse. Now we're in the same situation with a new strain of this fungus, which may do the same thing to the Cavendish.
It's fascinating to hear about this, but I think one thing I don't quite understand is exactly why bananas in general, and actually I don't even understand how bananas in this kind of scale are propagated. So is there something different about large banana crops that make them susceptible to fungi?
Yes, the bananas are clonally propagated, so that means that new plants are started from portions of underground stems, and what that does then is it makes every plant identical. And if one plant is susceptible to a pathogen like the Panama disease fungus, then all of the plants are equally susceptible. There's no genetic diversity in the production as it occurs.
So it's not like there could be one hardy plant that survives because they're all the same and they're all going to either get it or not get it.
Within the Cavendish cultivar, now there's hundreds of different types of bananas, and there are certainly cultivars of bananas that may be resistant to this race of the Panama disease, but the problem is that those cultivars may not have the properties that are desired. They may not taste the same. They may not look the same. They may not yield the same. any replacement for the Cavendish, one, it would have to have consumer acceptance, and that's what we're familiar with. This is what a banana looks like. This is what a banana tastes like. And if there is any substitution, any different type of banana, not only would the method in which it's grown and shipped have to change, but the consumer would have to be convinced that this is the banana now that you should be eating.
The delicious banana for the 21st century. I'm speaking with Lori Karras, who's a plant pathologist at Washington State University. So, Lori, what it sounds like then is that really who this affects are Western consumers, people who might live in areas of the world where smaller kinds of banana crops are grown are not going to be so affected by the fungus or the problems with the Cavendish banana?
Small banana producers in many parts of the world are going to be affected, and many farmers, this is their livelihood. So it's not just the consumer that's going to be affected, it's farmers in many parts of the world.
But there are other parts of the world where other kinds of bananas are grown and consumed, and at this point in time, this particular fungus does not affect those crops?
In many parts of the world, bananas are not just a dessert, they're a staple food. And I saw a figure that in some countries, bananas can make up 25% of the calorie intake. If those types of bananas were susceptible to this fungus, and I suspect that they probably are to some strain of Panama disease, then the consequences would certainly be important in terms of a loss of a major food item. If bananas disappeared from our grocery stores, people would be concerned, but no one in the U.S. would really starve. But that's not true in many parts of the country where bananas are a major staple food.
Well, 25% of your calorie intake is huge. So
yeah.
You said when we started that right now this fungus is in Asia. It hasn't yet spread to South and Latin America where, as I understand it, most of the U.S. imports come from. Is that correct?
Right.
10 years? Is that the time?
That's the figures that I've been seeing since this strain, this race was first identified, and of course that's been several years ago, and so, but the predictions were it's going to arrive, and it's just a matter of time. Now there's certainly efforts to prevent that from happening. I think that there's some hope that we can certainly slow the movement of this fungus, and so that perhaps the situation that occurred with Big Mike won't happen to Cavendish. But
I'm going to treasure my Cavendish banana all the more when I eat it, because you know we take bananas for granted in this country. I just saw a figure that they're the most eaten fruit in the United States, that they've surpassed the apple. I'm not sure if that's true in Washington State or not, but you know, we do. We take bananas for granted that they're always going to be there.
And they're cheap.
And they are.
Even in Washington State, where we grow apples, bananas are still less expensive, generally. You can go to the grocery store, and bananas are going to be less expensive than apples that are grown here in the States.
Well, Lori Karras, thank you so much for explaining this to me. I have, as I said, a renewed respect for the banana.
Wow, and the respect for the banana in people's daily diet. Who knew that people really depend on the banana for their calories?
It's a fascinating story. Our guest was Lori Karras. She's a plant pathologist and an associate professor at Washington State University. For those of you who cannot get enough knowledge about bananas, Lori highly recommends a book called Bananas by Dan Koppel. You can find a link to that book at our website, kuow.org.